Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As you are aware, we have entered into your new way.
Oh, really?
Oh, shoot.
And I will simply preface briefly that the science wave is not necessarily about science in relation to inventions or new creations, but more in relation to science itself and how it influences you in your lives, not being scientists. And as I have expressed previously in introducing this new wave, what you are tremendously beginning with is the base of science itself, which is rules. And in that, I would express to you that this is definitely a matter of perception, and it is not the same as your guidelines. It isn't the same type of expression as you generate in relation to your individual guidelines, which generally you do project onto other individuals and expect them to follow your guidelines. But this is somewhat different. Each of you, at very young ages, develop a part of your perception that sets rules for the world, in a manner of speaking. They are rules about behavior, what people's behavior should be. You don't necessarily think about this. You don't define it to yourself through thinking. But you definitely have rules about how people should behave. And when they don't, you react. You don't necessarily think to yourself, people should behave in a particular manner. If someone speaks to you, you should acknowledge them. You don't necessarily think that, but you act it. You react when people don't follow your rules. When you expect people to behave in certain manners and they don't do it, you will react. And people don't generally follow your rules. And this creates a considerable amount of conflict. Even if it doesn't create conflict between people, it creates conflict within yourself. Because it is difficult for you to accept when people don't follow the rules. And they aren't what you think of as your rules, although they are your rules, but you don't associate with them in that manner. You associate with them in the manner that they are simply the rules for all of humanity. They are the rules that govern the world. And you don't think about who designed the rules that govern the world. You simply know what they are. And you simply know when other individuals don't follow them or don't adhere to them. And you don't like it and you don't accept it. And that creates considerable judgments. And at times, you turn those judgments on yourselves also, because you may see momentarily that you are expecting certain behaviors of other individuals, and then you may confuse the situation and turn it on yourself and judge yourself for having those rules that other people should adhere to. Or you judge yourself because you notice that you don't follow all of those rules either at times. But the point is that this is a base point in relation to the belief system of science. That science follows rules. The base element of science is what? Mathematics. And mathematics is all about rules. You don't express 3 and 3 equals 7 because the rule is 3 and 3 equals 6. And it is definite, it is absolute, it is unchangeable. The rules are the rules. The difficulty with this is the one piece of your reality that is the most important piece of your reality, which is perception. And perception doesn't follow the rules. It does sometimes, but it doesn't always. It isn't bound to the rules. Therefore, this creates difficulties, and this is one of the most influencing and difficult pieces of science, is that it can't quantify perception. And you have to quantify with science because that is the rule. And in that, perception can't be quantified. This is the reason that they cannot explain particles. Even after generations of observing them and their behavior, they can't quantify them because it is a matter of perception. Particles behave in the manner that they behave according to your perception. They don't behave independent of your perception because your perception creates them and creates their movement, because your perception creates reality. And this is the missing piece. This is the missing piece for science. This is the missing piece for your understanding. This is the missing piece, or the missing link, so to speak, of reality itself. And your understanding of it is perception. Because even with that idea of perception, as we have discussed many times, in some capacities, you still hold the idea that you create your perception and therefore your reality, and each other individual does also, but then there is also the official reality. There is the official perception, which somehow everyone shares, but no one actually has. And once again, I will reiterate, there is no official reality. There is no official perception. And perception is limited to physical realities. There is no perception outside of physical realities because it isn't necessary. Because perception is a projection of reality, of physical reality, in that it is the projection of everything that your senses feed back to you. And in that, each one of you creates a different perception. You do generate a commonality to a degree with perception because you are all interconnected, because you aren't separate. Therefore, you share a degree of perception. Therefore, when you use your senses, for the most part, you will agree on many expressions that you input to yourselves through your perception. If you all sniff a flower, you will see the flower very similarly. You will smell the flower. The fragrance of it will be very similar. This is how you create perfume. That you collectively agree, you collectively generate perceptions that are similar enough. They are not identical, but they are similar enough that you can create physical manifestations that for most of you appear to be almost the same with very minor differences. Therefore, when you see a building, most of you see the same building, or almost the same building, but not always. At times, you see things very differently, and that means you experience very differently, because you experience in relation to what you input to yourself in association with your senses and your evaluation of what you are inputting to yourselves through your senses and what it means to you. In this is where you deviate in relation to perception, how you create differences in perception. And this is the piece about rules, is that with rules you want everything to be definite. You want it to be the same. You want it to match. 3 and 3 should always be 6. It should never be 7 or 5. It is always 6. This is the rule. This is what it is supposed to be. This is what you expect. And if it isn't that, then what is stable? And what is predictable? And what can you count on? And you place a high value on predictability. If you think that you place a high value on gold or diamonds, they pale in comparison to how much you value predictability. because unpredictability creates that feeling of unsafe. You don't know what to expect if something is unpredictable. Therefore, it isn't safe. Unsafe isn't a state of being. It is a feeling. And feelings are what?
Signals.
They are telling you to pay attention to what you are doing. And you are communicating to yourself in relation to what you are doing. Your feeling isn't the communication, it is a signal. But in that, feeling unsafe is your signal that something is threatening you. It is threatening because you can't predict it. You don't know what it is. Which also moves in other directions, such as what you do in your life, what direction you are engaging the future. Be it tomorrow, or 3 hours from now, or next year, or 5 years from now. This is the reason that so many of you are engaging so many questions with myself about climate change. You want to know what will happen in 1 year, in 5 years, in 7 years. What will we be doing? What will the planet be doing? What is happening? Tell us what the future is. Therefore, we can predict and we can feel safe. Because in that, we can follow the rules and be predictable and be safe. But you are shifting. And one of the pieces of shifting is unpredictability. And not following the rules. And that may not appear to be very safe presently, but this is what you are learning. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know everything that will be occurring futurely, because you are creating it now. You haven't created the future yet. Therefore, you can't predict it. You can express potentials or likelihoods, but you can't absolutely predict what will be futurely because you haven't created it yet. And what you are creating now is shaping what the future will be, but that changes in every moment, as you are aware. Let me express to you, this business of rules and following the rules or not following the rules is actually much more important than you might realize yet, but you will realize soon how important it is. Because many of the ideas that you hold presently and perceptions that you hold presently are likely about to be shaken. There are some that are already becoming more and more forefront that are moving in the direction of shaking your perceptions. I will express one of them that I expressed recently with an individual in relation to shifting. So many of you are so interested in the idea of incorporating a reality in which money is not the center of it any longer, which you are moving in that direction. And one of the pieces of perception that is surprising about that, or will be surprising to most of you, is who is leading the way in relation to that manifestation and the realization of no money.
Banks.
Banks, the holders of money, the investors of money, the promoters of money, banks are leading the way for no money. They have been moving in this direction for approximately 50 of your years already, and you don't see it, and you haven't been aware of it. They have been steadily moving you in a direction to accept the idea of money, virtual money, for slightly more than 50 years. You use less and less actual currency. You engage with the idea of money with plastic cards. You aren't exchanging money. You are exchanging the idea of money, which has eased you for a period of time slowly in the direction of not using currency any longer, of not actually engaging exchange in the manner that you used to throughout your history, and moving you in a direction in which money is not as valuable. It isn't as important. They are moving in directions that are very different. Rather than holding your money, rather than being repositories for your money, banks are moving in directions of encouraging people to be exchanging in other manners, to be creating businesses that you enjoy and that you want to do, not necessarily corporations as they have previously, but in relation to encouraging you to do what you love to do and creating a new type of exchange through cooperation, and the banks are the forefront of that new movement, and they are already engaged with it. Which is doing what? Breaking the rules. This is not what banks do. This is not what banks have been created for, but this is what they are doing. They are breaking the rules. And that is difficult to accept, and it seems suspicious. And you might not necessarily be inclined yet to trust banks or bankers, because traditionally you haven't generated a considerable amount of trust for these individuals and these establishments. But they are establishing a new frontier that holds you as their highest interest. In this, it is also a matter of recognizing that everything in your reality is about rules. Regardless of what it is, it doesn't matter what the subject is. You can choose any subject. It involves rules. And in that, what you are moving into now is the presentment to yourselves of the significance of perception and how individual it actually is. The previous wave was, in a manner of speaking, educating you about the subject of perception itself. That everything is about perception, and that you have perception, and that perception isn't your opinion. It is your projection of reality. Now you are moving in the direction of the next step, which is about perception is everything about your reality. That it doesn't necessarily follow the rules. And how do you provide that stability and that safety for yourselves in what seems to be chaotic, which it isn't, but that may be your assessment initially, through reflection. And now it is a matter of genuinely learning what reflection is, because most of you still think of reflections as being mirrors, and they aren't. When you look at another individual, when you have an interaction, and you actually have the presence with yourself to remind yourself, oh, this is a reflection, and you notice that, your immediate initial response to yourself is, what am I doing that's the same as what I am reflecting? Likely nothing. Because you aren't mirroring. You are reflecting. You projected an energy, and you are reflecting that energy back to yourself. But you don't see the projection. You don't always see what the perception is. That is the reason you have the reflection, that you can see what your projection is. And then you can address to that, because the projection always comes first. Your perception is always first. Projections and reflections are designed to allow you to be aware of your reality. I've been expressing from the onset of this form, nothing is hidden from you. It is all a matter of what you pay attention to. It's not that there are hidden elements or aspects of your reality. It isn't that there are unconscious parts of yourself or your reality. No, that is incorrect. It is a matter of what you pay attention to. And you don't pay attention to much in relation to yourselves. There is so much more of yourself that you don't pay attention to, and that you express automatically, but you're moving in the direction of being intentional creators. That is the point of this shift, that you create your reality intentionally. You began with Seth, who expressed, you create your reality. And this was revolutionary, this concept. I create my reality. I create all of my reality. This is amazing. And it is empowering. Now, you move in the direction of, you don't simply create your reality. You want to create your reality intentionally in what you want it to be. Not automatically, not moving through your life with your reality being created and you don't know why, and you don't know what, and that it seems that all the outside sources are creating it for you, or to you, or against you. But that you have the power, and that you are creating it intentionally, because you want to, and because you are aware of yourselves and what you want. We have spoken quite a bit about desire versus want, and how desire is your engine that fuels you. And that is what you want to follow, intentionally creating what your desire is. But in this, once again, it brings us to the simplifying of all of it, which is, what are you paying attention to all day, every day, in what you are doing, in all of your mundane actions? Stop concerning yourselves and worrying about and asking questions about, how do I create a relationship? Should I move? Should I continue in my present job, or should I generate a new job? Should I purchase a new vehicle? Should I be engaging school, or should I be engaging some other activity? What benefits me the most? What is the best use of my time and energy? Stop asking these questions. Start looking at what you are doing every day, because that is most of your energy. If you want to purchase a new home, you likely will do that how many times in your lifetime? In your lifetime. Not in a year, not in a month, not in a day. How many times in a lifetime do you purchase a new home? How many times in a lifetime do you change partners and engage a different romantic relationship. Even if you did it 20 times, which you think would be a lot, 20 times in a lifetime. How many breakfasts do you consume in a lifetime? Much more than 20. Even if you engaged 40 relationships in your lifetime, how many cups of coffee do you consume in your lifetime? Much more than 40. How much energy are you engaging with all those cups of coffee as compared to the 40 relationships that you have engaged in your lifetime? What is more important?
Coffee.
And why? And why? Because that is what you are doing now, and that is what influences everything else that you do. That is what you pay attention to in relation to your rules. How are those rules influencing everything else in your life? When you engage a barista 5 times a week to incorporate a cup of coffee each day, how many times and how much energy are you engaging in which you expect that individual to be following the rules? And if they aren't, how often do you become angry or dismissive and express to anyone that you come in contact with, "I left the shop and the barista was a jerk to me today"? What are you doing? What energy are you expressing? Are you expressing an energy that you want to be dismissive, aggressive, angry, unintentional, judgmental? Is that what you want to be? Intentionally, but that is a very influencing energy. And how often do you do that? And how often are you expressing those types of energies? How often are you dismissive? One of the individuals in our group expressed at one point the example of paying attention to what you are doing by paying attention to whether you refill an ice tray or not when you remove it from your freezer. So let us say that you choose to remove the ice tray from the freezer and you throw it into your kitchen sink. You don't think anything of that. You don't generate any assessment about your energy. It is unimportant. Let us say you do that on a regular basis. Every time you consume the last ice cube, you throw the ice tray into the kitchen sink and expect someone else to refill it and replace it. And you don't think about it, you simply do it. What are you doing? What are you actually doing in that action? What energy are you expressing? You are being dismissive. You are expressing not enough. You are expressing automatic expectations. And this is what you would term to be a normal energy. Then when you want to engage a relationship, what type of energy will you likely be expressing? Will you be looking for a compliment? Likely not. You will be looking for what you expect, what your expectations are on your criteria list of what you want in the other individual, not in yourself, but what you want the other individual to be. And in that, you will be dismissive of anything else that presents itself to you. You will be expressing your expectations. You will be somewhat unbending. And in that, you will either not necessarily place yourself in the path of someone else to be developing a relationship with, because no one will be enough. Or you will place yourself in the path of someone else who won't be enough. And you will pay attention to them, not in the manner of, are they a natural complement to you, but are they fulfilling your criteria list? And your criteria list is only interesting for a short period of time. And then you become disillusioned with this individual that you are developing a relationship with, and you don't like them anymore. Or you can't function with them. Or they are not enough. It doesn't matter what it is, a relationship, a home, a vehicle, a job, a family. It can be anything, anything. And these small actions that you do every day are very important because they shape your perception, and they reinforce your rules tremendously. And those rules break many expressions, they break relationships, they break opportunities. The rules don't break. Other people break them, but they don't break inside of you. You make them break everything else around you because they disappoint you. But you don't want to be disappointed. You want to be happy. You want to be successful. You want to be engaging. You want to be interconnected. You want to live your lives fully and richly and be satisfied and content. And you want to do that all intentionally. And you can. And that is what you are moving in the direction of in this shift. That is the exciting aspect of this. Stop doubting yourselves and be excited. Be excited that you are doing and that you can be intentional and that you have all these avenues of communication with yourselves that are designed to help you be intentional. Credit yourselves and move in directions in which you are celebrating you. Because you are worth it.
Yay.
And because you deserve it. And each time you question yourselves and wonder, which is very natural, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you aren't trusting yourselves, but each time you question yourselves, stop momentarily and counter that with crediting yourselves also. This is the age of balance. It isn't that you never doubt yourselves or that you never discount yourselves. At times, you discount yourselves because it helps you to grow. You see something that you are dissatisfied with to encourage you or motivate you to move in a direction of being satisfied. Therefore, discounting yourself isn't always bad.
Right.
But if you do that, balance it with crediting yourself also. Don't leave it as the discounting, because that leads you in the direction of following feelings, which is never a good idea. But rather to give yourself that credit and recognize that I may discount myself in this, but I also can credit myself in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then simplify with everything. What do I actually want? You don't have to complicate and express in analyzation about everything you do and what the significance of everything is. All you have to do is ask yourself, what do I actually want? What is actually important to me? And am I comfortable with this? Am I comfortable with whatever the subject is? And if you are, accept that. Don't ask yourself why, but simply accept that you are comfortable. And that is acceptable. You don't have to have cosmic reasons for being comfortable.
Yeah.
You don't have to analyze everything. Being aware is your greatest tool. It gives you your greatest power. Because it allows you to see your choices. You are unempowered when you can't see choices. And whenever you ask yourselves questions, whenever you present a situation to yourselves, and you are asking questions and you don't have the answers, then ask yourself what is important and why is it so important that you have the answer in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't see an answer, it doesn't mean it isn't there. And when you don't see an answer, it doesn't mean you won't ever see it. It simply means you don't see it in this moment. And in that, all that is necessary is for you to simply ask yourself, why is it so important that I see it in this moment? Is my life going to end if I don't know the answer to this question in this moment? Likely not. Will you make the ultimate wrong choice if you don't have all the answers in this moment? Likely not. And if you make a choice that you aren't comfortable with, it matters not. You can change it in the next moment. You can always change. Because that is your innate right, is choice. Yes.
So a question about, let's see if I can frame it properly. In the beginning you talked about the presentment of the science wave.
Yes.
How does that affect what we project and reflect?
Because you are projecting the energy of the rules, and you may be reflecting what isn't following the rules.
Okay, so I want a clarification. If the science wave is affecting me, I'm not necessarily objectively aware that I'm projecting that energy. I may or may not be. So the reflection or reflections that I see or that I experience could somewhat confuse people, meaning that I'm having an interaction with another human being. They're reflecting behavior, rules. I didn't necessarily wake up this morning and say, I'm going to project this energy and I want to see this reflection.
That is the not intentional aspect of creating your reality, yes.
Okay, so I guess my question is, or another one of my questions is that intentional, or is a wave intentional or not intentional?
The wave?
Yes. When it comes to the individual's projection of energy and the reflections. Am I being clear?
I understand. In relation to your participation and your projection of the wave in consciousness, you are not engaging that intentionally because you aren't actually aware that you are doing that. You are participating, but you aren't objectively necessarily aware. You are now because I have expressed it to you.
Correct.
But you weren't previously.
So I guess for my sake and maybe for other people's sake, further clarification, meaning I have, well, let's see if I can open an example. I have an interaction with another person that's reflecting some of these rules and the behaviors and whatnot, and I can actually turn that against myself.
Definitely.
And say, what the heck? What am I doing? You know, I'm trying to pay attention to my energy, but I'm having this experience that
precisely
doesn't
that
match.
That is the example
but
of
this is
looking
a reflection. It's not a mirror.
Precisely. You
and
are
understanding the difference.
Yes. You are looking at it initially as a mirror.
As a mirror.
But it isn't.
Which most people would probably do.
Yes, which is precisely what I express. That is what you automatically do initially. And it is a matter of recognizing that a reflection isn't a mirror. Therefore, when you see someone else expressing in relation to you, when you are interacting with another individual, they may be behaving very differently from yourself.
Absolutely.
But in that, you projected that energy that they received and they chose to be expressing in the manner that they are. Now, what is the reflection? Remember what I expressed to you in how to move through steps of looking at a reflection. And looking at yourself in relation to what you feel, what the other individual is expressing, what they are projecting in what they feel, and in that assessing in yourself three different expressions that you are aware of that you are engaging in that interaction. In this, when you look at another individual or anything, it doesn't have to be another individual. It could be your cat, it could be your dog, it could be your vehicle. When you are looking at a reflection, it isn't the same as what you are doing. In that, how you decipher what energy you are projecting is you look at it backward, in a manner of speaking. You look at what the outside source is expressing, and what are you feeling? What do you feel in relation to what you are presenting to yourself? The small one requires relieving itself.
Linda, my dog's got to pee.
Oh, the small one requires relieving itself.
Yes.
You're not asking me a question, you're telling yourself.
Correct. Now, in this, you look at the reflection. Let us say that you are expressing what you think of as a good day. You are happy, you are feeling light, and you are being very engaging. And you engage with a friend or a family member, and they explode at you. They're angry, and they are expressing in an entirely negative capacity. Now, this is not what you were expressing. You were happy and you were feeling light, and now you are engaging this other individual, and they are very dark, and they are angry, and they are accusing. And in that, what do you feel? What do you feel now in that moment? Do you feel angry? Do you feel threatened? Do you feel sad? Do you feel anxious? What do you feel? Because that is your first indicator about what energy you are projecting. That, what you are now experiencing from that reflection, is giving you information. I feel anxious. What does that mean to you in that moment? This is what I expressed in our formula about how to decipher the reflection. You define first what you feel. Then you express, what does this feeling mean to me in this moment? Not what does it mean to me in general, but what does it mean to me now, in this moment? You may be feeling anxious. Why? What does that mean? What does being anxious in this moment mean? I'm anxious because this is threatening to me. It is threatening to me that this individual is expressing in this angry manner. Why? Why is this threatening to me? What am I doing that is not entirely comfortable? Now remember, you were having a good day. Mm-hmm. Also remember, don't follow feelings. They are only signals. Therefore, even feeling good is a signal. In this, when you present something in this capacity to yourself, you may be actually reflecting that although you may be feeling good that day, may not be entirely satisfied with what you are creating, or you may not believe that you are creating tremendously well. You may have many different expressions that are occurring simultaneously that you aren't tremendously comfortable with or satisfied with. The factor that you may be having a good day doesn't mean that you aren't concentrating on other expressions.
The reflections will tell you all about.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Elias, what if the person with whom you are interacting is talking about a relationship that really has nothing, I mean, it's a personal matter, but they're venting to you. That's not my reflection.
Oh, yes, it is.
How? I'm not in that relationship.
Precisely, and you are not mirroring. You are reflecting. Therefore, in that situation, you may be presenting that to yourself to evaluate how do you associate with that type of situation. Or you may be presenting that to yourself as a choice. Do I want to involve myself with this, or do I not want to involve myself with this? You may be presenting that to yourself for many different reasons. That is the reason that it is important to engage those steps. What do I feel? And what does that mean to me? And what is my choice?
I think we're you. Can I say something?
Yes.
It goes back to understanding what reflections are.
Precisely.
That if you're having an interaction with, in your case, with another human being that's talking about relationships, and you don't feel at that time that, you know, you have any interest in that, or why is this happening to me? I'm going to go back for clarification on this, just say yes or no. Back to the science way, you're collectively participating in it, so you're going to have experiences that you're going to see those reflections, because that's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way it does work.
That is how you learn, yes.
That's how you learn. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have this interaction with this person and we're going to talk about relationships, or I'm going to wake up this morning, I'm going to pay attention to my energy, and why is this happening? I'm not projecting this. Why is it happening? This is insanity. It's not insanity.
Precisely.
Reflection.
Precisely. And reflections aren't mirrors. A reflection is telling you something.
I want to learn about a topic.
In a manner of speaking,
yes. I'm constantly projecting, maybe not constantly, but I'm projecting that energy.
Now let me also express to you, in relation to projections and reflections, you are always following your desire. It is your engine. Therefore, by extension, reflections are also always involved with your desire, because they are moving you in the direction of your desire. Therefore, when someone else is expressing to you in a manner that you think, this doesn't involve me, and you are questioning what that is, that is the reason that you express, what does this mean to me? And in that, if you think about desire, your desire, you don't even have to define what your desire is. Not entirely. And in that, when you look at that reflection and you are asking yourself about that, what does this mean? Think about your desire momentarily. What can I learn from this? What is it showing me that I want to see about me? What do I want to see about me?
There's a little tiny piece that I can't quite get to gel in all of this. When you started out talking about rules,
yes,
what kept going through my mind was, okay, what are some examples of rules? And then I'm thinking, a rule in my estimation, or the way I'm conjecturing, would be an intrinsic meaning on something that we ascribe to something. And so, you know, very often people will think there's an intrinsic meaning in something, and there really isn't. And that seems to me like that's what the rule is. For instance, candy is bad. Well, candy is not necessarily bad. Candy is good. But there's an intrinsic meaning there. And then with the projection and the reflection.
Or you want there to be.
Or you want there to be. The desire is in there. Right?
Want is not necessarily the same as desire. But you want there to be an intrinsic meaning. Just as you expressed.
True, yeah. You
candy is bad, candy is good, it isn't necessarily, but you want there to be an intrinsic meaning.
You want that intrinsic meaning because that gives you a rule that you can count on, so
yes.
You can create reality more intelligently according to the way you see things.
Precisely.
With the projection and the reflection,
when you project, and then the reflection comes back to you, and it's telling you something about yourself. And at that point, as I understand it, we either react, or we recognize that we have choices.
Correct.
And, you know, recently, like with my sister's birthday, I took her out for a birthday. My sister's very hard for me to be around. Very hard. Everything is so emotionally overblown, it drives me out of my mind. You know, I'm almost like bombarded by it when I'm with her, and I have almost like turn the radio on and listen to
her. What is the reflection?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. And the compliments, I don't like a lot of compliments, and it's compliments all day long. I want my hair to be gray like yours, you're beautiful, I love you, Kat. And honest to God, I feel like I want to come out of my skin with it. You know, and maybe hearing this, people are like, well, that's nice, you know, she thinks you're this, and, you know, like, I'm on this pedestal, and I hate it. And
why?
I don't know. So I'm thinking about this, I said to my husband, why does it bother me so much?
Precisely.
I almost felt depressed. I said, is it because I feel guilty? Because I can't be everything she thinks I am. She can't possibly think I'm all that, you know, and it's horrible for me when she does it, so... that's kind of what I'm thinking, like, okay, I project, this is what she's reflecting back to me.
If you are that bothered,
I'm bothered,
then something is threatening.
Something.
What is it?
I don't know. Maybe that I'm not nice. Maybe that I'm not all these good things. And maybe I'm bad. Maybe I'm horrible. And she just doesn't get it. You know?
I would say that is logical. And I would say that is... a common assessment that most individuals would automatically express that type of an assessment. The reason I don't like this, the reason it is bothersome to me is because I don't necessarily believe that. In some situations, that might be the case with a particular individual. With yourself, I would not express that. I would say that when you look at the reflection, and then you look at what you feel and what that means to you, what I would say to you in this moment, the reason that bothers you, because it doesn't make you sad. And it doesn't invoke for you a feeling of guilty, which that would be more likely that you believe that you aren't those things and that she is expressing this and you are uncomfortable because you really aren't these things and that's what you believe. No, it irritates you.
Yeah.
The reason that you respond in that manner, you look at the feeling, what does that mean to me? It irritates me. Why does it irritate me? Because when someone else puts you up on a pedestal, which is your perception of what she's doing, then she has the control to knock you off. You don't want her to have that power.
So is someone having power over me?
In a manner of speaking.
That rings true.
Because in that, then she is setting the rules for you. And you are the one that doesn't want to follow the rules. Because that places you in the position, in your perception, of being in her control, and you won't give that. That is the point. It isn't that she is complimenting you and you disagree with her, and it isn't that she is complimenting you and you are mirroring that, because you obviously aren't mirroring it. You are irritated. She isn't being irritated when she's complimenting
you. Oh, no, she loves it. She loves it. I got 6 phone calls the next day with more of this stuff. Honestly. My God. You know, my husband.
But what does that
yes.
tell you? That gives you information, which is the point of reflections. That is the point of creating this reality being so precise that you have left no stone unturned. You have so precisely created this reality that you give yourself information in so many different manners, and you reflect everything to yourself to give yourself that information. Why? Not only so that you can be aware of it, but so that you can generate choices. And what are those choices? Choices to be more intentional and to be what? Comfortable and happy. Not necessarily to be miserable. Therefore, in that, you look at the reflection, you see what the other individual is expressing, you immediately move to the point of what do I feel? What does that feeling mean to me? This individual is irritating me more and more and more, is being so bothersome to me. Something they are doing is not setting well with me. You don't have to identify immediately that it is a threat. You don't have to be afraid from a threat. Threat may make you mad. Remember, what are your natural automatic responses or reactions to threatening situations? Fight, flight, freeze. Fight is not afraid. Therefore, when something is threatening, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be reacting to that in fear. You might be reacting to that in anger, which is also what? No choices, which is the reason you stay angry, because you don't see any of your choices. And you then concentrate on the feeling. You keep following that feeling. You keep paying attention to that feeling of being angry. Therefore, the more she does, the more angry you become, because the less choices you see. And all you see is, will she please stop? Just stop, just stop. Because when you don't see what your choices are, you immediately move your attention to the outside source and want it to change. Which leads you to what? Frustration and disappointment, because the outside source is likely not going to change. It is you that requires the change. Because you don't like what you feel.
She's happy doing it. I hate it.
Precisely. Therefore, it is a matter of recognizing what that means and then evaluating what your choices are. When you know what it is actually doing, what you are actually doing, what you are actually expressing in many, many, many situations, that is enough in itself. Mm-hmm. Once you understand, once you see, oh, I'm reacting because I am perceiving that she is expressing control with me. But she can't control me. Therefore, how valid is that? Does it matter? Is it important that I express this much energy and being so irritated and so bothered, and it is affecting of everything I do within my day, and it is affecting of every interaction that I have with every other individual because I am so bothered? Is it that important?
The rules of behavior.
Precisely. The rules of behavior. I am my own individual. I am autonomous. I like myself. I am capable. I am strong. I am empowered. Don't try to control me. She's breaking a rule.
Elias. Can things operate on two levels simultaneously?
Yes.
So, for example, I was talking to you about my studio mate expanding the studio into a larger space. She called me, or she texted me and said, I'm doing this. She just made a decision. She didn't consult me. She broke a rule. She didn't consult, and when we talked, she basically said, I'm doing it whether you like it or not. And I had a reaction. I mean, she owns the lease on the space, so and we did not sign a contract. But at the same time, I realized I'm feeling afraid, I'm feeling upset. It's like, this is like a bolt out of the blue, what's going on? I felt kind of disoriented, and then I started getting my bearings, and I realized she didn't mean to do me harm, you know, and I worked through it with her. But then there's a second message, so it's just like I was feeling fear, that I didn't have control. And then I realized I can do whatever I want, right? You know, she can do whatever she wants, I can do whatever. And we ended up, it seems, working it out. But the second message is expansion. And we talked about it in the session of like, just realizing there's expansion, that's a reflection of expansion in my life. No
but
more,
it
no
doesn't
more.
Mean you have to do the same action.
Exactly.
Yes. Which is another automatic expression that most of you do. If you evaluate and you see this imagery, this individual is expressing expansion. I know that. I'm expanding. Oh, this means I must do what she is doing. No. It simply means you are validating yourself in that reflection that you are expanding, but you don't have to do the same action that the other individual is doing. That is how they are expressing the reflection. They choose how to reflect to you.
Mm-hmm.
But however they reflect to you, they are doing it very precisely in relation to what you are projecting. Now, another individual may have been in the identical same situation, and rather than being afraid, they may have expressed more in a different direction and been irritated because they would feel disrespected.
I have also a question. If we are later in the shift more self-aware, you expressed to me that, and I know that the reflection will change, because I mean you are aware of what you're actually like doing. So can you explain more how they actually will change? What is changing? I mean, there's no such need to have reflection, because if you are self-aware, you actually know what you are doing. So what is then?
You do know what you are doing, but yes, it is still a tremendous benefit to have the reflections, because you may be intentionally creating your reality, you may be aware of what you are doing, but remember, reflections aren't mirrors. Therefore, the reflection is meant to bring something to your attention. It is designed to make you aware of something that you might not entirely be aware of in that moment. So not in general. You may be aware of the subject in general, but in that moment, you may not necessarily be aware of it, or you may be partially aware of it. Therefore, the design of continuing with that action of reflections, yes, continues, will continue, because it is beneficial.
And it might trigger then more expansion?
Definitely. Definitely.
So it will change after the shift, because now most people do not even see the first level.
Correct.
But once you see the first level clearly, there's actually no need for the first level. So you use the reflection to see the levels behind that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You'd be stopped. You'd be it. You'd be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
If consciousness is constantly expanding.
Precisely.
And that's its innate nature.
Precisely. Then there are always
more
layers.
You're finished. You're done.
There are always more layers, and you are never done. We shall break.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Continuing. And questions?
Oh, great. Now, let me clarify. We've got to clarify the question. So if something happens... that is a reflection of your energy. Is it because the science wave makes it stronger, or has it originated from something within you? Like if there's an incident. Well,
presently.
Yes. Could it be random? Could you be seeing reflections that are random, that aren't being initiated by something within your energy?
No.
No. So. So.
Keep going.
I think that was the answer to the question. So if you, but could your energy, could it just be based on a curiosity? Like, oh, I wonder how the science wave is affecting everybody, and then something happens, and that's an answer to that question.
Yes.
Yes, the science wave is affecting all these people, but what if it's but nothing in your energy could cause that reflection if it was more severe than normal? Like something...
No, it would. Whatever you are reflecting to yourself, including the severity or the lack of...
Right.
That is all associated or dependent upon what you are projecting.
Okay, that's what...
Therefore, if you are curious...
Mm-hmm.
And you are projecting an energy in that curiosity, you may be reflecting to yourself, and if you are reflecting to yourself in an intensity, then there may be some other expression that you are projecting also.
That would have caused that.
Yes.
Yes. And so now I'm determining that is personal, like, so it's something that I was personally projecting, and something to do with me, not just because... The science wave makes things more tense.
Precisely, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Did I misinterpret what you were saying?
No. I guess I'm not sure.
So you say
I'll ask a question similar but differently. If the science wave comes through, will I have experiences or reflection, both. Same thing for me. It was initiated from the science book. Or, yeah, initiated from, that's the source.
No.
Explain that.
You are the source.
I get that.
So then why is it different?
The wave can enhance it, or enhance your energy. The wave can exacerbate an energy, but it is you projecting. Yes.
I understand.
It is you projecting it. It is you choosing it. It is you expressing that.
So I want to rephrase the question again. I want to understand the science better. Projecting that energy. I will have experiences that show me different behaviors, different rules breaking.
Yes.
Emanated from me.
Yes.
But it's also a collective energy, science wave, or a collective agreement.
Yes.
You hearing that, Bridget?
Okay, so it's emanating from you, but the actual incident, is there anything, like if there's...
The policeman?
It is a tough one. Okay, so I had a situation a couple days ago, just before I came here, I was walking home from work, and I'm walking through like a not so great area of town where I live in, and there's a lot of homeless people and drug addicted people, and there was this lady, and she was totally not there on methamphetamine, is what we figured, just not in this world, but she was like punching parking meters, and then I came close by, and then she hit me a couple times, and... So it was like more severe than I normally don't usually get involved in this sort of stuff. And so that was to me something, it was very violent. You know what I mean? I wasn't, and when I look back at it, I was sort of observing the whole thing while I was participating in the whole thing. So I wasn't, like there was a little bit of fear and anxiety, but there was no, there was a threat, but it wasn't really severe, right? And I got out of it, and then the police came and stuff, and there was a whole big incident. So I've been thinking for the last couple of days, and there was like, there was a little pain, but no bruising, and it's getting better already, right, around the head. So I'm thinking to myself, and then we're talking about the science wave, and I think, okay, there's something in my energy that I wasn't paying attention to that initiated this reflection, and I'm trying to figure out what that was. And then, so...
Or you were paying attention. It isn't necessarily that you aren't paying attention.
So I was paying attention, and this was just...
Or you were. I am not expressing that you were or you weren't.
Okay.
I am merely adding that it isn't always that you aren't paying attention.
Oh, okay. But this could have been an outlet for all this energy that I wasn't releasing?
That could be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay. So
what I am expressing to you is that you may present to yourself situations that are somewhat unexpected,
mm-hmm.
or that you may deem to be violent, or that you may have opinions about,
right.
generally speaking, that you wouldn't like them, or you don't agree with them, or that you want to not participate in them. But you also may at any moment have a curiosity about different behaviors, about different expressions, and in that, as you were expressing, you weren't actually afraid.
Yeah.
And you didn't actually feel considerably hurt.
Right.
And you didn't feel considerably involved either,
true.
But that you were observing in a
yeah.
manner of speaking. Now, in that, remember, what is the first thing you look at when you are looking at a reflection? If you are reversing the process and you are looking backwards,
right.
what is the first thing you do when you look at the reflection?
How do you feel?
Yes, you look at the feeling first.
Right.
And in that... Your feelings were not indicating that you were reflecting something threatening to you.
True.
Therefore, if it isn't threatening, but you also know that these are expressions that you don't necessarily agree with and mm-hmm. that you wouldn't normally be participating with, then what... are you actually experiencing? And in that, you likely would give yourself some indicator of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, if you were reflecting back on that situation and that experience subsequently, you might be evaluating if you are thinking about the science wave and all that we have discussed thus far in relation to that. You might be curious about other people breaking the rules.
Rules and chaos.
And in that, yes, expressing in manners that you don't necessarily agree with or view as acceptable, and what happens to them, and how do you respond to it?
Mm-hmm.
Many times when you are reflecting something to yourself, this is many times, you reflect something to yourself to present a subject to yourself in relation to how will you respond to it. Will you react? Will you choose? What does it invoke in you? What is your response to a particular situation? And it generally, many times when you do that, you will present situations or experiences to yourself that seem to be somewhat extreme. Because you're testing yourself, in a manner of speaking. What is my response to this? How would I respond in this situation? What would I do in this situation? And especially in situations that you aren't generally in, that is more likely that you would be, in a manner of speaking, experimenting. You project an energy. You aren't fully participating. You are observing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are watching that reflection to evaluate what your opinion is, what your response is, what are my choices. Am I afraid of this? Am I not afraid of this? Therefore, you give yourself the opportunity to evaluate yourself in those situations.
So it's like a little meter, a self-awareness gauge. Like,
yes.
Okay, like I didn't react, I'm not reacting, I'm not responding, I'm not fearful, I'm not
going to... Yes, it can be.
Press charges and all that. It's
that
cool.
Is the point. And those are excellent examples of reflections, that they aren't mirrors. You aren't doing what the other individual is doing.
Okay.
You aren't expressing an alternate reality as the other individual is. You aren't expressing in a violent or an aggressive manner. And in that, you aren't expressing in a securely and severely emotional expression.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you the opportunity to observe it
mm-hmm.
and reflect that to yourself to evaluate, what do I do?
It's kind of interesting observing yourself observe it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Not just react. You're actually involved in responding, but you're observing the response and aware. What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, precisely.
You spoke, I think, on someone else's session that we can use the science wave, especially this aspect around rules and rule breaking, to kind of further our own, maybe I misread this, to further our own aims when we are breaking rules. I mean, we can use the energy positively if we are
definitely
the, if we are the rule breaker.
And it doesn't even necessarily have to be that you are the rule breakers. You can use this energy in a positive manner regardless, because it is very powerful and it does highlight that subject of rules. Not just breaking rules, but rules in general.
So if we were to be in a position where we were speaking to people around old perceptions of a subject, and then maybe shining a light on a new way to perceive the subject, that would be advantageous for us.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Now, is it about breaking the rules or changing the rules?
Not changing them.
Elimination.
Because what we are speaking about in this are not necessarily established rules. They are your own rules that you don't actually think about. You only become aware of them, and you aren't identifying them as rules, but you only become aware of them when you are in a situation in which someone breaks them. When someone generates a behavior that in your assessment, in your perception, they shouldn't do. They shouldn't be behaving in that manner. It isn't acceptable behavior. In that, this is very individualized because everyone's perception is different. Therefore, what may be bothersome to you may not be important to your partner at all. Or what may be not important to you at all may be tremendously bothersome to your partner because your rules are different. What is the advantage of seeing those differences, even if you aren't necessarily defining them as your rules, but that you see what you naturally express, and then you see what someone else naturally expresses, and when you can move to a point in which you do two actions, Ruther.
Again?
No.
Oh, sorry.
You can be an example of this.
All right, go ahead.
You wanted me to take a dog pee.
You can be an example for this particular situation, in which you become aware of your own natural expression, which moves in conjunction with what your rules are, even if you don't define it as being part of your rules, but you automatically expect other individuals to behave in a similar manner. Therefore, you recognize how you yourself express first, then you see how someone else expresses, and you stop expecting them to express differently because you see that they express differently. And they don't have to adhere to your rules because you don't personalize it any longer.
Wow, what an accomplishment.
I have to lay down on the floor.
You are very welcome.
And thank me.
Yes.
I credit myself with that one.
Yes. That is an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Example. Somebody owes me money, and my rules are as I want my money in a timely fashion. So if they break that rule, being the expanded human beings that we are, What's the best way to
get
get your money.
Respond. Respond and not react.
First.
Yes.
By evaluating why is that important?
I need to put it in my stockpile of non-existent money.
Why is that important?
I'm just joking. It's not.
I know. Why is it important? That is the first
question. It's kind of like a collective rule.
But why is it important? Simply because it is a collective rule? Because someone is supposed to follow that? That is the point, is that you each have these rules
gotcha.
That you expect
mm-hmm.
other individuals to adhere to.
So
and it bothers you when they don't.
Yep.
And in that, the reason you become bothered is because you are making something important.
That shouldn't. It isn't.
Most likely isn't.
Don't some people have more rules than others?
That's a big one,
though.
You
rules.
Tried that with the said bank, Enlightened
yeah.
Bank, they would be pretty darn upset with you if you didn't pay back the money that you borrowed from them.
That is also at this point an assumption.
This is true. Wow. Okay, let me try it.
Ah!
I don't know.
Once again, an excellent example of what I am expressing. Your perception is very strong.
Yes.
That, me too.
This is what you believe.
Yes.
Therefore, this is what you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
yeah.
This is what you will create.
Right.
Because this is your rule.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is considerably disorienting when that rule isn't followed. And let me express to you, you might automatically think now
mm-hmm.
that if that rule wasn't followed, that you would be happy. You might not be. You automatically project what you think you would feel or what your perception would be if that rule was broken.
That has the potential to rock your world.
Precisely. And you might be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You might be disoriented. You might be overwhelmed. You might be very suspicious. You wouldn't necessarily be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be bothered that the rule wasn't being followed. That this is your expectation, and therefore that is your reality. It is solid, it is absolute, and there is no question about it. When your reality doesn't behave in the manner that you expect it to, it can become very disorienting and distressing. Because it rocks what you believe is your foundation. Your foundation is what you expect, what you count on,
mm-hmm.
what is secure, what is absolute. I don't question this. This is the manner in which it is expressed. This is the way it is.
Right. Yeah. So I have a question with the president currently. He's a rule breaker.
Is he?
No.
Well,
by your Congress.
Is he really a rule breaker?
So
no, he has his rules.
He definitely has his rules.
Right.
He is adamant about his rules, and he has very strong rules, and expects all of you to follow them. He's not a rule breaker.
rule maker.
So the people.
He is a rule maker, and you are breaking his rules. And what does he do when you break his rules? He tantrums
and
he retaliates.
Yes.
He beats the shit out of him.
He throws a hissy fit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he retaliates.
Yes, and you retaliate.
And most of you do also. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily on a national level,
right.
But you do very similar expressions.
He punishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the benefit of retaliation?
It gives you a momentary false sense of satisfaction.
That's scary.
False
sense of satisfaction.
False.
So are we headed to less and less rules? Individual rules and collective rules.
What I would say to that is yes and no. What I would say is, are you moving in the direction of less individual and collective rules that you project, that you expect from outside sources? Yes. Are you headed towards holding an equal amount of rules? Also, yes, but not necessarily that you expect from your world. You have rules because they feel safe.
It provides structure.
Yes. And let me express to you that most of you value structure. There are very, very, very few of you that function without structure. But I would say most of you incorporate a difficult time providing yourselves with structure. You look to yourselves collectively to create structure. Therefore, you don't create it yourself individually, you create it together. This is the reason that so many individuals fit well in jobs that they work for someone else, and that they work well in those situations because it provides a structure in their life. And in that, you value that. It is difficult for most individuals to provide that for themselves alone. That is one of the main reasons that your rules are very important to you, because they do provide a structure that you create yourself and that allows you to feel safe. It allows you to feel that your world is predictable, which is not bad. And in that, without projecting that onto your world and expecting your world to adhere to those rules, that can be a successful and a beneficial method to be creating your own individual structure. Therefore, it can be significant to do that and comfortable, as long as you aren't holding your world to those rules, because it isn't that it would be bad for your world to adhere to your rules, but that they generally don't. And that is what is distressing for you. That is what causes conflict for you, is that they don't conform to your rules. And it also creates confusion. You don't understand. Why does this individual do this?
So, I know this is different than core beliefs, and I'm going to ask you why it is, because I know with my own core beliefs, I've worked a lot on the triggers, not triggers, or being irritated if someone is inconsiderate. It bothered me for years. It doesn't bother me near as much as I used to, because it's sinking in that, Linda, not everybody is considerate. It's just still kind of a shock, but you know, I'm actually not kidding. It's also, where does the transition into a rule? That's what I want to know. Where is it become? I've worked hard on it. I get it. When does it become?
Very well. Let us use you again as an example.
Okay.
And in that, remember, rules are about behaviors. Therefore,
being inconsiderate is a behavior.
It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Now, in this, a rule would be when you are excited about something, you express that outwardly, emotionally, and you express in a manner in which figuratively you light up, you are animated with your body, you raise your voice level, and you express yourself considerably when you are excited, when you are happy, when you appreciate something. Previously, if another individual did not respond in the same manner as you, you automatically did what? Personalize that and feel threatened. What did I do wrong?
And shut right down.
Yes. Mm. Because the other individual isn't following that rule. That when you are excited, you act excited.
Duh.
You are animated. You raise your voice. You express. If another individual is excited and is quietly expressing, I'm excited, you don't believe them.
I don't.
Because, well,
I didn't.
Because they broke the rule. Right. They aren't behaving.
I really didn't.
In
them,
the manner
right.
that you behave.
Right.
Therefore, in that, the rule is, this is the manner of behavior when you are excited. Or when you genuinely appreciate something, this is how you behave. And if you don't, it breaks the rule. And if it breaks the rule, then you did something. It creates conflict for you, not for the other individual. It creates conflict for you because you don't understand. Why isn't the other individual excited? They should be excited, especially if you are giving them a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they are expressing, thank you. No, the other individual must not actually appreciate this gift and must not genuinely realize the gravity of this excitement because they aren't expressing in the manner of the behavior that they should be. Therefore, I did something wrong. I overstepped a boundary. I expressed incorrectly. They don't like it. They don't want it. They are simply appeasing me by expressing that they are thankful, but they really aren't thankful. Question, question, question. Discounting, conflict, uncomfortable, and what? Threatened.
Yeah.
And in that same example, now you have moved in a direction of looking at that, not knowing that that was a rule of yours.
No, but looking at it.
But looking at that behavior of your own and looking at other individuals' behaviors, recognizing the differences, and learning to trust that because another individual expresses differently doesn't mean you did something wrong.
And the big,
and it doesn't mean that they don't mean the same, but express it differently.
And the most powerful word I'm learning in this little process is the T word, trust. That no matter what I'm feeling, and I don't care how many times I've said that, this time it's a powerful word, and it works.
I have to tell a little joke here. I can't help it; it keeps running through my head. My husband's Swedish and I'm Italian, so there's a joke that the Swedes tell that I said, did you hear about the Swede? He loved his wife so much he almost told her.
That's good.
Yeah. As I tell Bob, I know you're excited because I saw your left eyebrow go up.
And that is also an excellent example because
yes.
In that, what is the stereotype? That the Italians are very expressive.
Yes.
And in relation to family and love, they are very expressive. And therefore, there are considerable differences.
Yeah.
And in that, you create these rules that you don't even realize are rules.
Mm-hmm.
But when other people's behaviors are different and they break those rules, you are very confused, and it may require a significant amount of time to adjust to that and trust it.
Yes, it takes a significant amount of time.
But if you know...
You're aware of that, couldn't you reduce that time?
Yes, precisely. If you know that you have your own rules based on your own behaviors, and if you know that you genuinely do expect the world to behave in the same manner, if they don't, then you may not have to express that tremendous amount of time adjusting and reinforcing yourself and expressing to yourself, it's not my fault. Or the other individual is being genuine, and I can trust that, and I can believe that. Or the other individual doesn't have to express the same as I do.
The question, if we take climate change, many people are breaking the rules and polluting, and actually these actions are destructive, so it is kind of tricky. It's not only that they're breaking probably my rules, but you also see that it is actually destructive for the whole planet. So that's, in my opinion, not so easy to...
And that is the key, in your opinion. That is the key. No, well, no.
No. So you are saying...
Because the planet is the planet. The planet doesn't generate rules of what is good or bad. The planet will survive and it will adjust.
Yes, but you said, and it's actually that some behavior are actually adding to the...
Yes, you
so,
are correct.
So in this manner, there are actions that you could actually see, yes, it will be generating more...
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that.
No, but I mean, this is even more difficult for people to address because they actually have a knowing that what other people are doing is
are
kind of
destructive.
Adding to the
yes,
trauma
you are
that
correct.
Is already expressed.
Yes, you are correct, but that is also a choice. That is a choice. You have two collective choices occurring simultaneously at this point. One is somewhat stronger than the other. The one in relation to being aware of climate change and wanting to move in other directions is actually stronger than the one that ignores climate change. It may seem that that might not be the situation, but in actuality it is. Now, in relation to those differences, though, they are a matter of perception. That it depends on what your perception is and what direction you are in. I speak with all of you, and collectively, all of you move in a direction in which you are concerned about your planet, you are concerned about your situations, your living situations, your children, your grandchildren, and how it is affecting of you. There are many individuals that I could be speaking with in a very different capacity because they don't care. And in actuality, if they don't care, then they will generate their own consequences to that. But that is their choice. If they don't care about their living conditions and whether this planet will be sustainable for their grandchildren, it won't be. But they don't care. Therefore, that is the reality that they are creating. In that, this is what I have been expressing to all of you. It isn't a matter of opposing. When you look at these other individuals that don't care, it isn't a matter of judging them and opposing them. It is a matter of paying attention to yourselves, moving more and more in the collective that you are, setting an example, which also then is influencing of the individuals that don't care, because then they see a different expression, and in that they question. You all learn better from example than any other method. And you are all learning, and they learn also. Now, in that, it is more a matter of what I have been expressing to you. Move with the movement. Move with the flow of climate change, not in opposition to it. And if you are opposing the people that oppose climate change, you are opposing the climate change too. You cannot separate them. Therefore, it is a matter of being aware of all of it and recognizing this is not a matter of judging other individuals that don't believe climate change or that are ignorant of that. It is a matter of recognizing you, what you are doing, what is important to you, and being that little sapling. Mm-hmm. Being that example that other individuals can begin to question. Every one of you has pieces of your perceptions that are very strong and very absolute but they can be changed by the introduction of a question. When you present the right question in your terms to yourselves, which, what is the right question? The right question is anything that personally, directly affects you. Whatever directly, personally affects you, you pay attention to.
Right.
And you make important. Therefore, when other individuals that don't believe climate change are exposed to examples through other individuals that some aspect of climate change actually is personally affecting them now, then their perception and their opinion may change.
Thank you.
You are very welcome, my friend.
A couple of us had a question. Some of us found ourselves at this group session today. We didn't think we'd be here, but we were able to get here. And then some of us are also wondering why there are so few people here. And I was wondering if you could answer, because I'm thinking about the mass event, why are there less people here than normal, and why did some of us make it here?
And some not.
And some
that
not.
That normally are here.
Yes.
And what I would say to you is, very simply, whenever the subject that is presented is difficult, we generally generate much smaller groups. Once the subject has been presented and there is time for it to be assimilated because the initial individuals already participated, therefore the energy dissipates somewhat, then individuals respond and you see a larger group. People generally find reasons to not participate or to, in a manner of speaking, stay away when the subject is new and uncomfortable.
So does that mean that the people that are here somewhat like new ideas?
New, yes.
And also exciting and in a certain kind of intensity?
What? Not necessarily. I would say not necessarily in relation to intensity, but
more open to
a
new
willingness
ideas.
To a willingness to participate in something that might be uncomfortable and that they might not quite understand fully yet, but that they know they will. Let me express to you the difference in that. Other individuals may not be tremendously threatened by the new idea or the new direction, but if they don't understand it directly, immediately, and fully, they become frustrated. These individuals here now, none of you are frustrated. No, you aren't. Liar. I would say to you that you may not fully understand everything in every detail of what we have been discussing, but you are assimilating it, And it isn't necessarily frustrating you that you don't understand it fully. You are curious and continue to ask questions because you are curious, but not necessarily agitated. Some individuals become agitated when they are frustrated, and then they can't listen. When they become agitated, they stop listening. Mm. Therefore, they automatically, they don't objectively think about it and express, I won't be attending this group because I will be frustrated and I won't be able to listen. They don't think about that. They simply will find some other action, some other activity that they perceive they have to involve themselves in at that time. And that gives them an excellent excuse. And that is acceptable because then you pave the way.
And there will be more after rules, I'm assuming. I'm assuming this science wave is just going to be, it's all about rules. And that's it. There's going to be more layers.
Yes.
Continuing.
And all this time it's been rules that caused a lot of the triggering and the kookiness. And are it?
Oh, very much so, mm-hmm. Yes.
So now we're addressing to the rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that word.
That is what is the case with every one of your waves, that you've always been engaging in these manners, but each wave is designed to address to a specific subject that is influencing you in some manner. As I expressed in your previous wave, you were very much addressing to perceptions and differences, but now you are applying that and actually presenting it to yourselves in a way that you can see it.
Right.
That it isn't simply concept. It isn't simply an idea.
Right.
You aren't speaking about philosophies.
Right.
Or differences of opinion. You are actually observing different perceptions that are very real,
mm.
and attempting to maneuver within that, and this is a different experience,
mm.
and much of this is about rules.
Another question.
Yes.
How about, we are moving further into the shift, so we are actually moving into areas where most people haven't been. And is it also influencing how we set up new rules in areas that we haven't been? Because, I mean, if you are moving to new areas, then there is no structure, there are no rules because we haven't been there. So you need to establish some. And is it also changing how we change, or how we install these rules?
To a degree, yes. And as I expressed, yes, you are creating more or new rules for yourselves. The difference is that from this point onward, you are becoming more and more aware, and therefore not necessarily expecting your world to adhere to those rules. You recognize this as your structure, your building of structure for yourself.
And are you inclined to generate less rule because of that?
Some.
Okay.
That depends on the individual.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Some individuals may be more inclined to function with less structure, because you are experiencing new, and you are experiencing yourselves differently the more self-aware you become. Therefore, you may discover that you may be comfortable with less structure. you may be able to maneuver with yourself easily without as many rules, without as much structure. Some individuals may have more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some individuals may be content with what already is. What is the most significant, as always, is remembering your basic formulas that most of it depends on what you pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is most of what directs your perception. And perception is the base of all of this. And in that, therefore, it is a matter of how you are directing your attention, what you make important, obviously. And I would say it isn't a matter of trust. Because how much structure or how little structure you give yourselves is a matter of what you are comfortable with, not a matter of whether you trust yourself or not.
I see this as going in a direction of recognizing that there are no closed systems and there are no absolutes, and we're like moving more and more toward where we have a total understanding, recognition, and consciousness of anything that we want happens immediately, and there is nothing that stands in the way of any of it, such as rules.
And wouldn't that be wondrous
yeah.
if you actually believed that? And therefore could actually do it.
I hate it when he says that. Can I just ask?
And it will be wondrous when you believe that.
Sorry, I got excited.
Yes,
oh, no, that's what
you
can get excited.
And believing that will create it? I mean, what she did.
Yes,
right
ma'am.
What
because believing it is the same as trusting it.
Mm.
Therefore, if you trust it, yes, you will create it.
Right.
Can you tell
the
doctor
already?
Vinu. Vinu has a question. Vinu has a
question.
Expressing a validation in excitement. Responding to that excitement. Yes.
I was just wondering, in all seriousness, I mean, what? What?
He needs to stop it.
Wait, what?
No, we're laughing. Forget it. I'll tell you later.
I was like, so, yeah.
But seriously.
So, like, I mean, the entirety of the material up to this point has been predicated on this idea of waves and these waves.
We
get
louder,
different.
Mr. Audio Editor.
I should have had more coffee today. I didn't. I don't know. I mean, the entirety of your material up to this point has been predicated on these waves and consciousness. And I find it interesting that this is the last one. And it talks about what our trajectory has been up to this point, and this one being the last one, science specifically. I just wonder if you talk about that as we've reached the conclusion of what these waves are, because that's been the foundation of everything up to date.
It hasn't necessarily been a foundation.
Hmm.
I would say that that is somewhat of a misunderstanding. What I would say is that you have collectively created these waves throughout these years to help you to understand your belief systems first, to understand your reality more, to become more aware of what influences you in your reality, to empower you in relation to what you genuinely are, which through millennia you have forgotten. And I am not speaking about what you are as essence, but as humans. And that through thousands of years of constructs and oppression in different capacities, you have somewhat forgotten what you are and how powerful you are and the strength that you have individually, and have somewhat fallen into this crevice that you are only strong and powerful collectively, but you are very strong individually. And then to also emphasize in that empowerment how you create your reality. Not simply that you do, but how do you do that? And to emphasize to you the influences in relation to how you create your reality. And then to empower you to have the ability to do it intentionally, which is this final wave. And in that, these waves were not created. They were created by all of you collectively. But they were not created by all of you to be the culmination of the shift. They were created to help you to maneuver through the most intense aspects of this shift. These waves have, for the most part, been expressed within this part of the shift, the objective part of the shift. Your first 100 years were the subjective part of your shift. And in the objective part of the shift, this is the part that you expressed these waves specifically to help you maneuver in the beginning aspects of this objective expression of the shift, to lessen that trauma. Because as you can see in your reality, you are now 19 years into this part of the objective aspect of this shift. You are 19 years into your new century. And in that 19 years, you have generated a significant amount of change very quickly, astoundingly so. And in that, in all of those changes, there has been tremendous potential for trauma. And there has been a lot of trauma. You experienced a significant amount of time, relatively speaking, in your world after your last world war, in which you were moving forward, but relatively complacent, relatively quiet, not tremendously challenged. You have stuffed a lot of challenge into this previous 20 years. And in that, you have been moving at tremendous speed in this time framework. And let me express to you, as I have many times, faster isn't always better. faster in many situations creates trauma, mm-hmm. and it has. And in that, you have created these waves to help you maneuver through that trauma and to help you very quickly assimilate a lot of information and become much, 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 much more self-aware in a very short amount of time. You have done this all in a period of time of less than 20 years as compared to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of your existence. That is a very small amount of time. That is a toothpick in relation to all of the forests on your planet. That is how fast you have moved into this time framework. And in order to do that and not decompress yourselves to the point in which you wouldn't be functioning, you created these waves to help you. And at this point, you have assimilated tremendously. You have grown exponentially. You have become so much more self-aware. There is much more to move through, and you have much more to assimilate and to become self-aware and to grow, so to speak. But you have done a considerable amount to this point. And in that, I would say that you were quite smart to invent these waves to help you to do this, but this is what you do.
I have a question.
Yes.
And also about root. I mean, the commonly accepted rules are influencing what our senses are inputting. Our perception can generate magical action, but our senses will not follow. So my question is, since it is all about rules, is that also getting easier in this wave now? So can we expect that it is easier, that our senses will actually follow perception that is generating things that are not following the rules, which are...
Yes.
So actually we can expect that people are generating more so-called magical actions and are able to perceive them with their senses.
Yes.
Excellent.
Manifestation. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
About a year ago, I manifested rheumatoid arthritis in my body. It was very, very painful. Changed my life drastically. And I was led to believe that it was caused by my beliefs. And then advice from you and others was that I was fighting the healing process. I was interrupting with the natural flow of the body consciousness to heal. And then I worked on this for a long time. And then one morning I reached down for my crystals that I had been meditating with, and the crystals were broken. And they were about 6 inches long, two of them, that I used very successfully on other people, and they had wonderful experiences. So, was it the conscious? The essence of, not essence, the consciousness of the crystal, but more so me in my decision and in the belief that I could heal myself, that disseminated, broke these crystals. Why did that happen? Explain. explain it to me. But you don't have rheumatoid arthritis anymore.
No.
You forgot
that part.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
And whoops, there went. And when I went to the doctors, you know, they said, well, whether you're going to take the medicine or not, you'll consult with Elias. I mean, they knew all about it, right? And, well, I had blood tests, and of course, there's no strain of the rheumatoid arthritis. So explain it to me how, when I went to pick them up, I mean, they were in pieces, right?
I would say that is excellent objective imagery.
Yeah.
I would say that is an excellent reflection to yourself.
Yay.
In relation to breaking a concentration.
Yeah.
That I have expressed many times, concentration is not the same as attention. You can be paying attention in one direction and you can incorporate a concentration in another direction. Your concentration is determined by what you believe and what you express consistently. And in that, you can move in directions of healing, and you can hold a concentration that whatever the physical manifestation is can't be healed. You can fight with yourself, and you can express that you want to be healing, but you are fighting with yourself because you are concentrating on how much you don't like or how much you hate the manifestation that you have created. The more you express that you hate it, the more you express that you don't like it, the more you are fighting with yourself. Because you created it. And you are judging yourself for creating it. And you are holding that concentration, making that manifestation important, and fighting with it. I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. But I am making it, I am making it, I am making it. But I hate it, I hate it. And you continue to fight with yourself. And as long as you continue to fight with yourself, you continue to create precisely what you don't want. And when you break that concentration, you stop creating it. It becomes unimportant, and you stop creating it, and you stop paying attention to it, because you don't pay attention to what isn't important to you. And I would say that was tremendous and beautiful imagery that you presented to yourself as a reflection of that breaking of that concentration, because the crystals represented that concentration to you. The crystals were the physical representation to you of a healing action. For what? Something that is wrong and that you hate, that you concentrate on. And you broke the concentration, and you broke the imagery. Right. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Jim. You are very welcome. Very well, my friends. I express tremendous affection to all of you. Great encouragement in all of your movements. Be aware of those rules. And in that, credit yourselves and acknowledge yourselves. And I would also encourage all of you, stop questioning so much. but acknowledge ourselves more often. Pay attention to that. In tremendous lovingness to each and every one of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir.